Before I introduce our speaker slash testimony sharer, I want to take a minute to recognize those that have made VBS possible. As you can see, there already has been a lot of work gone into preparation. People have made these creations and spent a lot of time setting up the building in preparing the atmosphere for our children. So, those of you that have created and prepared and set up and will teach and minister to these kids, will you stand up so we can say thank you? All of you who have created, who have set up, who will teach, will you stand so we can recognize you? Thank you. The walls behind me aren't real. They're styrofoam, but they look good, don't they? Tim gets creative with styrofoam from time to time. Kim, am I correct? Did you create this? Kim Reynolds created this over here. Don Dubrowski created the well in the entryway. There's just so much effort that goes into this in creating the atmosphere for the children that will come. But without prayer, well, we need prayer. We need to pray for the children. We need to pray that hearts are prepared and ready to receive the word that they will learn from our teachers and leaders this week. Pat, come on up here, brother. I think we got a mic ready for you. Most of you know Pat Humphrey. Pat has been with us some years, and I asked him a while ago because I knew I was going to be away the last 3 days on conference meetings, and I knew, quite frankly, I'd be tired. So I asked Pat, share with us your testimony. And so I'm going to pray for him, and he's going to share with you his testimony. And if there's any time, I'll say a little bit after that. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thank you for how you are at work in our hearts, in our lives, in this congregation, in this community, in the world. Thank you, Father, for rescuing us. Thank you for your grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. Thank you for my brother Pat and his testimony. Spirit of God, as we have prayed already, move amongst us. Move amongst us this morning. And all that we say and do, move amongst us, Spirit of God, this week as we welcome VBS kids and staff. Move amongst us, Spirit of God. We want to bring glory to the Father. We want to see people come to Jesus, the Son. And so bless this, my brother, now as he shares, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome, will you, Pat Humphrey.
Thank you. Can you hear it? Okay. I'd just like to say thank you for the opportunity to share. Pastor prayed about a rescue mission, and boy, I tell you, that's about what this was. And so... My wife, Lori, and I have been attending here for the last 3 years, just a little over 3 years now. And I'd just like to wish Happy Father's Day to every father that's out there. A little bit of background before uh, uh, before I came to Christ. And I was an adult when I came to Christ. I was married. I had two children. And I worked as an RN in surgery. And I had worked 18 years over at what's called Essentia, now in Brainerd. But one of the things, I always considered myself to be a Christian, and I wasn't. I was a Christian in name only. I thought I was saved. I thought what I was doing was okay, and I'd go to church every week along with my family and that, but I wasn't a Christian. And one of the things that changed my life, well, was one of the obstacles that the Lord put in my path was I got a divorce. A couple of things attributed to my divorce. First off, I had an addiction. And you might think, well, he's talking about drugs or alcohol or pornography or gambling or one of these things. My addiction was I love to windsurf. And I spent a lot of time away from my family, out doing what I liked to do. And it was an addiction. The other thing that really caused problems in my marriage was my anger. When I wasn't violent, I didn't hit anybody or that, but I was very miserable to be around. They knew I was mad, angry. And so I did this for a number of years. And working in surgery, you work long hours and you get little sleep. And on top of it, you can't make a mistake. You can't afford to. You're working on another human being, and so you were very cautious. At least I wanted to be very cautious as to how quickly I'd do things and all. But in 1996. My world really imploded. Like I was saying, I worked in surgery. One of the things that I started to feel was just the stress of the long hours and overtime and all. And I started to talk to my then wife and saying, I can't do this. I got to look for a new different job. I can't do this. It was literally killing me. Little did I know that 4 years later in 2000, I'd end up with a quadruple bypass. So I wasn't joking. I knew that something was, beyond me, that it was causing a lot of stress. And with that came anger, more anger. I worked hard and I played hard, but I left out one of the bigger things in my life, and that was my family. So in 1996, in June of 1996. My dad died, And he was in the banking business. He worked with finances all the time. But boy, did he leave me a mess. I was executor of his will and all, but he had some, he gave everything to me and left my brothers and sisters, or my brother and sister out. And I wanted to make that right with them. So it was, I was very fortunate in that my brother and sister were gracious as I divided up the his estate. After he died, about a week after he died, I don't know how many of you remember Dick Dean. He owned a salvage yard over in Brainerd. And about a week after he died, I had driven over to his house and where my dad lived, and all of a sudden the springs in the back of my car came up through the wheel wells. It was time that this found the junkyard. And so I nursed that car over to the salvage yard over Dick Dean's salvage yard, and I got rid of it. But I didn't have a ride. I didn't have a ride back to my place. So all of a sudden, Dick hops in his tow truck and he says, "I'll give you a ride." And he threw a Bible up in the front seat. And I tell you, for 4 hours, we sat there. And I'll never forget what he spoke of. And it was humility and meekness. I wasn't saved, but I listened to him. But I remember what he was talking about. He had the scriptures open, and he was having me read, and just a wonderful start as far as that rescue plan that God had for me. So after about 2 months after my dad had passed away, my wife asked for a separation. And I didn't see it coming. I should have, but I didn't. It really took me by surprise. And one of the biggest issues was my anger. So I began to see a counselor for my anger management. It was Nick Gamello. And I don't know if you guys know who Nick Gamello was, but Nick was a Christian counselor. Little did I know that God would put Christians in my path during this time to bring me to himself. So for my time with Nick, he'd put in things that were biblically sound, shared the gospel. I didn't accept Christ at that time, but he certainly put it out there for me to digest what he was telling me. After that, After I went through some anger management classes and with him, my wife and I started to have get some marriage counseling so that both of us were involved. And it was during that time that I could see my marriage slipping away. It just wasn't going the way I wanted it to. It was, we were moving apart, not closer together. And I started to have dark thoughts. I had thoughts of suicide. I really contemplated that. And I just didn't want to live anymore. So just after Christmas that year, she asked me for a divorce. I ended up in the hospital. I was admitted to Essentia Health in their Grace Unit, and that's appropriately named because I did receive grace. I was under suicide watch remember just I saw no future. I didn't see anything. And one evening, a nurse that I used to work with walked in with a Bible. And she laid it on my nightstand, and she says, "All your answers are right there." Okay. I grew up Catholic, and I never read scripture. We just didn't. The Bible sat on a little end table, exposed to whoever saw it, and that's about as far as it went. We never read it. So I ended up picking up that Bible, and I thought, well, there's no other, there's not many options I have here. And so I started to read. And for the first time, well, I opened up Romans 8. And I read Romans 8, and I wept. I couldn't, it was inexplainable. It just hit me about God's love, and I really needed that at that time. Why I opened to that spot, I don't know, but he knows. But it was, she didn't share the gospel with me. She just had given me that Bible to read. So I was very appreciative of that. And about a couple weeks after I got out of the Grace Unit, the psychiatric unit at Brainerd, I got a phone call from my cousin Julie, who I hadn't talked to in years. Didn't know that she was a Christian, and she was the one that sat and talked me through the whole plan of salvation. And I got down on my knees and I asked for forgiveness. At that point, I was broken. I had no other place to go except to him. He didn't leave me many options. And so I finally understood. I finally understood the incredible gift that God had given me. Boy, it really sunk in. It really took hold. But it didn't end there. I still spent a year in the Catholic Church. They didn't let me come back to work because of who'd want somebody working on you that had thought about suicide. And so they didn't let me come back to work in surgery. So I had time off. And during that time, I went to church. At that point, I was going to Mass every day. And I was reading Scripture. And when I looked at it, when I kept reading it, it didn't match up to what I was hearing from the pulpit. And so I moved to a Bible-based church. I just happened to pick out Lakewood E-Free Church, and I started to go there. While I was there, God put another person in my path. His name was Larry Gilbertson. And Larry introduced me to jail ministry. And so every Sunday I'd go with him to the jail. And most of these guys, all they wanted to talk about was the Book of Revelation. I tell you, he'd start down one path, but these guys would always bring it around to that book. And I, of course, being a fairly new Christian, I didn't know much about it. So I began to read it, and it was very intriguing, very interesting to me. And I've always said that I started in the back of the book, and I've been working my way forward ever since. That particular book really changed the way I looked at Scripture. And it made me not just read it, but to study it, not just take the words and not process it. I wanted to know what it meant. So anyway, Larry was very instrumental he was my mentor. He discipled me. He came alongside me. And without him, I would have been floundering. I wouldn't have gone down the same path that I am on now. And so, well, I tell you, if you ever get a chance to mentor somebody or disciple somebody, we need to do that, because it's very important, very important piece. So anyway, God blessed me with a new wife and best friend, Lori, I'm just so grateful. Christ is at the center of our marriage. We pray. We try to do it every day together, and so Christ is really at the center. And I've really been blessed. When I look back, I see God's fingerprints all over my life. I mean, all of the different people. I feel like, boy, you're kind of a numbskull. You didn't get it the first time, so you just kept sending people in my life over and over and over again until I came. You know, it was just great. Even the surgeon that operated on me when I had a quadruple bypass was a Christian, and he one day he was making rounds, coming and checking on his patients, and he came in and. He says, I'm going to take your chest tubes out, because I had a couple of chest tubes in. And he saw all the Bibles in the room, and so he knew who he was dealing with, at least, you know. But he and I started talking about the Lord, and he got down in my face and he said, you should have died. You should have died. You were blocked 100% in two, 90% in another, and 75% in another. He said, you at least should have had a heart attack, but you didn't. He says, you need to find out what God wants you for and go do it. He saved my life, not only spiritually, but physically. And so it made it very easy for me to transition to just giving my life over to him. You know, Colossians says we were created by him and for him. And if we're created for him, we need to find out what it is he wants us to be doing. And so I really have been blessed over the years with fairly good health, still having, you know, some issues with the heart, but I've really been blessed family-wise also. I have two wonderful grandkids that are with me today that came to share their time with us this next week. So we're grateful to have family and friends, and I just appreciate this congregation. I really do, and appreciate the time that I've been given to teach and all of these things, and in all of it, to him be the glory. So that's it.
Thank you, brother. For the last couple minutes before we have our praise team come back and lead us in Revelation song, I want to invite Casey and Matt to come up here. Dale and Carla, Sherry and I, Tracy as our delegate, and these fellows, we've all just spent the last 3 days away because we are at our conference meetings this year in Janesville, Wisconsin. And one of the things come on over here by this other brother. There we go. One of the things that happened, and we were going to show you a little video, but our video's not that clear. In the proceedings, these two brothers who are part of our congregation were invited forward and asked some questions by the bishop as their intent in ministry. Now, most of you know that they have declared their intent in ministry to you, to the board here first, and to you. They are both sensing a call of God on their lives to be in the ministry. And so part of the proceedings in the last couple days that we were away were the bishop invited these men forward, asked them some questions, and then sprung a question on them that they weren't prepared for, but they did good. And what I want you to know is they have now graduated, if you will, from being local ministerial candidates to conference ministerial candidates, which means now they're one step away from being pastors. (Clears throat) They have a little ways to go. They have some correspondence and some on-the-job training to do. They have both literally, officially been in a conference level. It's called assigned to the pastor at Motley. So these brothers are en route to the ordained ministry. And so what I want to do more than anything else today is ask you to pray for them. As God continues to move in their lives and they continue to press forward in the call that God has put on their lives, I'm asking you to pray for these men. And so, and that prayer should be, part of that should be, is God's intended use for them. As Pat has just said, when he calls us to himself, he normally has a role for us. Pat is a wonderful teacher here. These brothers will be in the ministry in the near future, should the Lord tarry, to some degree, pastoral or otherwise. And so I wanted you to know that they are now conference ministerial candidates. They will be in that position for a time, and there will come a time that they will be called forward again at the conference level, and they will be ordained pastors. I say praise and glory to God. And so, because our time is really up, I just want to pray for these guys, ask you to pray for them. You know Casey and his beautiful family over here. Pray for them in the journey. You know Matt. Matt is going to be married this fall. So not only is he thinking about being a pastor, working towards that, he's working towards marriage, and they both work full-time jobs, so they're busy. But they still are committed to this call that God has placed on their lives. So pray that God makes that evident to them when and where that might be. I'm going to pray for them, then we're going to invite our praise team to come forward and sing Revelation song again. Let's lay hands on them and pray for them. Father, thank you again for the privilege that is ours, as Pat has just shared, to know you as Lord. Thank you, Father, for your grace that calls each of us, and at some point we must respond to that call to become your child. Thank you that Pat has done that, Casey has done that, Matt has done that. And not only have Casey and Matt responded to the call saying, "Yes, Lord, I want to follow Jesus," they have also answered the next call that says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And so, Father, as they continue in this journey, now called conference ministerial candidates, we pray by your Spirit that you would lead them every step of the way, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them. And when they are weary and discouraged and thinking, "Well, I really don't want to do this, Lord," because those thoughts may come too, we pray, O God, that your hand of mercy and grace and love would be there all over again. And so guide them and their families in this process and use them for your glory. Thank you for their commitment to you, our Heavenly Father. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.